You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And one of the keys that you need as a great dentist is a great team. But how do we do that? How do we hire people? Well, I've got my good friend and expert today, Laura Hatch. She's going to give us the essentials of hiring. You will love this. Do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. Thank you so much for watching. It has been crazy and we're just grateful you guys are following and watching. We're up to 250,000 views a week. So, and over 15,000 subscribers all over the world and growing. So thank you so much for sharing and thanks for all your suggestions. We get messages all the time on things you want to see. And today is one of the things that you want to see, which is a hard thing to do. And we're going to be talking about the essentials of hiring a great team, things you have to do with my good friend, Laura Hatch, which many of you have seen her before. But before we get started, let's do this. Couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So if you're watching this during the live feed and you have a couple questions, which I'm sure you do, feel free to add them to the feed and I'll ask Laura directly and we'll get the answer straight from the expert herself. And then also, if you're watching this later on, maybe after the live feed, go ahead and continue to add your questions because we want to make sure you're getting the most out of this so you can go back to your practice and apply it. Now, this person who I have had on many times before, you'll see why. We got a chance to know each other a while back. Linda Miles actually made the introduction, the two of us. Laura Hatch, you run a company called Front Office Rocks, which is an amazing product, which many people need to know about. But if people haven't watched you before or haven't seen you before or haven't heard about you before, who is Laura Hatch and what is Front Office Rocks?
Well, nice to be back on the show. I'm so excited. You and I have so much fun when we do this. I'm an office manager. My husband is a dentist, and we have had two scratch practices so far in our history or in our background. My husband and I had a practice on the East Coast. We started from scratch, and we moved to San Diego in 2007 and opened a scratch practice on the West Coast. So I am an office manager. I run the dental office day to day. And I have Front Office Rocks, which is an online training website to help dental teams get the training in that they need. So I'm in it every day and I'm trying to help as many dentists as possible every day.
Yeah. And that's born out of necessity because, you know, so many people were asking you for help and you're like, I'm just going to start shooting some videos showing people what I do. Right.
Yeah. A lot of people would tell me I meet dentists and they're like, well, if only I had an office manager like you. And I was like, okay, well, how can I clone myself? So luckily we have the internet. So I have over 180 training videos as from the office manager perspective to help train the teams. And that's the best I could do to clone myself to help the offices out.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Now, I want to talk about why this subject of hiring is so critically important, because you do it every single day. And you were, before this, you were a professional recruiter. Is that correct?
Yeah. So before I got into dentistry, my background, my bachelor's degree is in human resources. My master's degree is in organizational development. So basically the business side. And I was an IT recruiter. I was an admin recruiter and an IT recruiter for years. So I basically was an IT recruiter during the dot-com, you know, everybody was getting big jobs while my husband was in dental school. So That was my former career prior to him asking me to come run his dental office. So I've got a ton of experience of hiring, how to hire well, you know, what are we looking for when we're getting great employees?
Yeah. And so if you're watching this is part one. We're going to be talking about the essentials, just the bare essentials of hiring. We're also going to do another one on the bare essentials of firing or freeing up somebody's future. So be on the lookout for that. But what do we need to know? Like, if I'm a young dentist watching this, what are some of the things that I need to know about the hiring process and lessons that you've learned?
All right. So let's start with the beginning.
Okay.
I feel that when we go to hire in the dental office, a lot of times we don't take the time before we even start advertising for the position to do our homework, to figure out what are we looking for? Is this your first employee? Is this an employee you're adding to a team? What traits are you looking for? I do feel that a lot of dentists feel like they have to have somebody that has 2 years of Eaglesoft experience or 3 years of Dentrix experience. I personally don't feel that way. Part of the reason I started Front Office Rocks is because I feel that the dentist thought they needed dental experience. And if we can, you know, I didn't have dental experience. I mean, I learned tooth numbers and surfaces and dental codes. I had the other experiences we need, which is customer service and sales and management experience. So first we need to step back and go, what are we looking for, right? What personality style, who would you want in the office? One of the things I suggest is if you're adding to the team, let's look at the team you currently have and say, where do you have some strong suits? You know, maybe you have a very organized person or a type A personality, but maybe you have somebody, you don't have anyone that's really chipper and happy, or somebody who is can handle bringing the stress level down. Like, you want to look for what you're missing or needing in your practice before you hire. So I suggest you sit down and you do like a, you know, grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine after work and go, what do I really want? You know, what would be a great addition to my team? And then keep that, because we start to interview, we sort of get like, oh, well, that's not that important. It's kind of like when you start a diet, right?
Yeah.
You go, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to work out. I'm going to eat these things. But then you go to a party and you're like, well, I'll just eat this cookie. And we forget what our original goal was. So that would be the very first step, is really just knowing what you're looking for.
Can I ask you a question on that, though, too? Like, if you're a young dentist and you haven't had a lot of experience with this, would a good question to start with say, hey, look, okay, I don't really know what I'm looking for, but I do know what I'm not looking for here? Because when you know how this is, when you get older, you go, okay, no more crazy people. I don't want somebody who's got a horrible past and, you know, they're going to bring that in here. You know, would you agree with that statement?
Yes. And what I would say is, for a young dentist who maybe is hiring for the first time, you really do not, especially now with Front Office Rocks, sign up with Front Office Rocks, get help. It'll help. You don't need to hire somebody that has, you know, 20 years of dental experience, because here's what happens is when you hire somebody who's, not that everybody who has dental experience is bad, don't get me wrong, but if you're hiring somebody just because they have dental, but they really don't fit the personality of your practice or what you're hoping to achieve, what you're bringing in is that last dentist's culture into your practice. Like, you're bringing whatever that person has into your practice, and it might not be what you want in your practice.
Right.
So you really have to think about personality styles. I suggest if you're at the restaurant and you see a hostess that's amazing, or you get great customer service at Nordstrom's, or you're at the bank and the teller is awesome, and you think, wow, that's a great employee, that's who you should be looking for, because that's what these are people who are going to represent you, your practice, your patients are going to meet them. You have to work with them day to day. I would rather find somebody with a great personality, a go-getter, than somebody who knows Dentrix. Well, we can teach them that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say you figure out the personality style, then take us through what's the next step?
Okay. You know? And one other thing, we were talking about new dentists. I'm going to add more senior dentists, people who've been in the industry a little bit longer. One of the things I'm finding right now is that for the senior dentists, people who've been around and hired and fired a lot, that they have this idea that there's nobody good out there, right? Mm-hmm. That, oh, I just can't find, I mean, hiring is can be exhausting, and firing stinks, right? But if you have the attitude that you're never going to find anybody good, guess what? You're never going to find anyone good. Right. So you have to recognize that if you're saying, well, there's nobody good out there, you're never going to find the good employee. You have to go, you know what? I'm going to find somebody good. It might take me a while, but I'm going to find somebody good. So for those that have been through, you know, hiring and firing, I would say look at your attitude before you start interviewing, because that's going to help you be more successful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So now that you've gotten your outline of what you want, what personality, what skills, you know, what kind of a person do you want, then you need to write the ad. And we write ads that are boring. We write ads that have, you know, need this 2 years of this experience and 4 years and please submit resume. Well, when you write a boring ad, guess what? You're going to attract a boring person, right? Yes. So unless I'm trying to, or very conservative person, somebody who is, well, unless I'm hiring maybe a insurance coordinator, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody chipper and happy and exciting and can handle a lot of activity. So I want to write my ad accordingly. I want my ad, you're advertising a position in your practice. So it's meant to attract somebody.
Right.
So I would rather write something that's like somebody who likes to help people and grow and work as a team and likes to, you know, likes a lot of activity, because I want to attract that kind of a person. And especially in times when there's not a lot of people who are unemployed, your ad is potentially advertising to get somebody to leave another job to come to your job.
Right.
So you want them reading it going, wow, I want to work at this dental office. My dental office is nothing like this, right? So how you write the ad is really important.
Yeah. So give me an idea. So when you're writing an ad, is it a couple, you know, are you looking at 4, 5, 6 sentences type of a thing where it's a great opportunity, change people's lives, fun environment, ability to grow, likes working with a team, progressive dental office type of a thing? Are those the things you're putting in an ad? Okay.
Yeah. You want it to be, you know, what would invite people to want to come to your practice. So what you said, and it doesn't have to be, I mean, my dental office might be different than the dental office down the street. Mine's fun and loves music and we, you know, team build, whatever it is, but whatever you're attracting, you have to understand that that's the kind of person you want to attract. So if you write an ad that's, you know, we're open 9 to 5 and Saturdays from 2 to 4 and we need 2 years of experience, you're going to attract that kind of a person.
Right.
And that's really, for the front office, I mean, we want the superstars, because that's the first impression for our patients. The other thing I would say with the ad, and this is key for me, is I always write in the ad at the end some sort of instructions to the people who are applying to see if they follow the instructions.
Right. Now give us an example of that, because I love that.
Usually it is, if you're interested in this position, please submit your resume and give us, you know, the top 2 reasons why you think you'd be good for this position, or tell me, you know, tell us why you think this position would be good for you, or just something, right?
Right.
And the reason I do that is because when you get the resume and it says, "Dear hiring manager," blah, 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 they didn't read the whole ad, right? And we can see a lot from a person in that beginning steps that, you know, you end up hiring them and you're like, how come this person never follows instructions?
Yeah.
They didn't when they started the job, you know, when they applied. So I'm always looking for that. Unless the person's a superstar, if they don't give me some reason why they think they're a good fit for the position, I move on, because I want to make sure I've got somebody who can follow directions. I mean, I need to train this person. I need them to know that they need to follow these steps to get the job that we're offering.
Right. It's just one more filter on top of the resume that they'll send that just says, hey, look, I'll take a look at these. Now, can I ask you a question? Where are you putting the ads? Because I get that question all the time. Are you doing Craigslist, Indeed, DentalPost.net? What have you found to work best in your area?
Yeah, I always go to Craigslist. And when you do Craigslist, you just have to know you're going to get the gas attendant and the mechanic and the person who has, you know, I mean, you're going to get them all. Okay. But you can weed them down. I get the best response from that. DentalPost.net is amazing. I believe it's stronger in certain areas than others. I've been posting on Dental Post in California. It's not as big in California. I know in Florida and Georgia, it's huge.
Right.
Luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had to hire anybody in a while. So I've heard of Indeed, but I haven't gone to it because I haven't had to hire in a while. It's not so much about the job postings, I don't think. It's just more about the fact that you need to know how to weed through the resumes. So I would put the post anywhere that's successful in your area, because I think it is definitely regionally. One addition to that is if you're looking for somebody clinical, like a hygienist, an associate, or a dental assistant, I would add to that to say, I would also let your sales reps know, your Patterson, your Shine reps, your social media, because you probably have a lot of people in the industry, because all of our reps are in all the other dental offices and they know who is happy and who's not happy. And right. When we're looking for someone clinical, it makes it a little bit harder to go on Craigslist and say, hey, I need a dentist, right? But if I'm mentioning it to all my sales reps to say, hey, if you know anybody that's looking, we're going to have better success if we get it out into our industry.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now, talk about your sorting process. So now that you've put the filters on this, do you sort them into piles? Do you have subfolders? People do this differently. How do you do it?
Well, the fact that I have a recruiting background, I'm quick to just, I go through them, and my team laughs and my husband laughs at me because he's like, wow, you give no room, right? But I'm trying to get to the best candidate. So if they send a resume and it doesn't have any reason why they're a good fit for my position, unless it's an amazing resume, they're gone. If they live too far, like in a bad economy, people will drive further to get it. But as soon as the economy turns around, guess what? That employee who's driving 45 minutes either wants a raise or finds a job closer to home. Right. So if it's too far, if I feel that it's out of the range of where my staff would drive from, they're out. If there's spelling errors on their resume, absolutely out, because we have spell check. There's no excuse. So they're out. So I go through really fast and just out and keep if I do a Craigslist ad and let's say I get 100 resumes, I might really consider 20 of them. Okay. If that. So don't spend a ton of time going through that's not a fit. Here's the 20 now that I'm really going to start looking at and paying attention to, because hiring can take a long time if you go through every single resume in detail when it comes in.
Yeah. So now let's say, so when you do 100, you said get 20. What do you do with those 20? Are you bringing them in for a short little interview? And then I'm also going to couple that with the question is how much do you get, it might be different for your office, but how much do you get the doctor involved in the hiring process?
Yeah. Okay. So when I have 20, now I have 20. Now, the one thing I'm going to say is, let me take one more filter out. If somebody said, this is true. If somebody sends me a picture of themselves on their resume and they're sitting on the edge of a bed or in the bathroom or they're gone.
Yeah.
Like we actually had somebody who she took a selfie and she's in the bathroom of the dental office she works at. And you could see the handicap bar and I'm like, really? So anyway, these are the things you need to weed out because that's just bad judgment. Now that you have the 20, I'm going to really start to go through these resumes. One thing I'm going to suggest is don't sit on them too long, because if they're a good candidate and you're waiting and you're busy and you're analyzing and you're thinking, those candidates are going to get another job.
Right.
So you need to respond to them quickly. I'm going to really look at them and I'm going to say, do they have what we need? And I'm probably going to call all 20 of those. But I'm also going to look in the resume before I call them and see, are there any specific issues that I want to address? Meaning, let's say they didn't work for 2 years. I want to find out why they didn't work. Let's say they job hopped a little bit more than I'm comfortable with. Now with the millennials, there's more job hopping, meaning switching around, than when I was recruiting before. But I want to know their reason why. I want to ask them. So I'm going to look at the resume and go, well, what's this? Or why did they do this? Or are they going to be okay to drive 30 minutes to work? Like I want to figure out what the questions are before I call them. Then I'm going to call them. The phone call process is the best screening process possible because you're not wasting time bringing them in for an interview.
Right.
But you really have to recognize what you're doing. When you're calling, you're listening. Listening is more important than talking throughout the entire process. You and I talk about this all the time. Listen to the voicemail. Yeah. They know they're getting a job. Does their voicemail like, yo, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, is it, listen to the voicemail. They're trying to apply for a job. If they answer the phone and they're like, I'm at work. Can I call you back?
Yeah.
You got voicemail. Like that's bad judgment, right? Mm-hmm. I had somebody answer the phone and they had a baby on their shoulder and the baby's crying and they're like, can I put the baby? Don't answer the phone, when you're looking. So I'm going to listen for those type of things. Then I'm going to start asking them questions and I'm going to really listen to their reasons for issues I have on their resume. I'm going to listen to their communication style. I'm going to listen to, are they professional sounding? I'm going to listen to, do they answer my questions well? Like if I ask them one question, do they talk for 20 minutes or do they just give me a yes or no answer? Because I'm analyzing, how are they going to be with our patients?
Right.
So I'm just listening to this. I'm listening to their answers to see, am I okay with that answer or not? And then a lot of times, if I'm not 100% sure, I'll say, hey, listen, we're just going through resumes. So I'm going to talk to the doctor about this. I'll give you a call back. And I'm going to see, do they double check my name? Do they ask me when I'm going to call back? Do they find out the name of the dental office? Because again, a patient calls in and says, hey, I'm going to call around or whatever. And I go, okay, bye. That's not a good thing. So I want to hear, do they have good follow through with me? And if they say, oh, okay, and what was your name again? And when do you think I'll hear from you? That's a good sign versus somebody that goes, okay, thanks. And then they hang up. So those are kind of like the things that I listen to on the phone call.
Yeah. Now, can I go back to the questions? Because now this would be a whole episode itself, but from the legality standpoint of, you know, somebody watching this might not know, there are questions you can ask and questions you can't, especially in California. Give us the short course on that. What can you ask and cannot?
Well, I would definitely say, because they didn't teach us in dental school, so make sure you look it up on the internet for your state, you know, work with an HR company to make sure, because I've worked with my husband. I'm like, you can't ask that question. He's like, why? I don't understand. I'm like, you just can't, right? Mm-hmm. So there's things that, and I'm not even a HR, you know, expert, but there's things that you can't ask. Do you have kids? And, you know, you can't ask, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some of the questions, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to even think because I'm so careful about the things that you can't ask that I don't even go down that road. You know,
yeah.
You
can't ask how old they are. You can't ask kids, personal things. But what you can ask is tell me your story. You can ask a lot of open-ended questions. Yeah. And what I find, I don't know if you found this to be true, when you ask a good open-ended question, they give you way more than you would ever. You're like, oh my gosh, why didn't you just tell me that? Like we're in an interview.
Open-ended questions are during the interview is huge. Now, with the phone call, this is where it's really important that you take the time to do the interview well on the phone, because you don't know what they look like at this point. So when it comes to any sort of, well, they didn't hire me because of this reason, you've never seen them. Right. So I would rather take the time in the phone call to go, does this person sound good? And you're not judging them at all on race, stereotypes, anything like that. So, but we tend to be busy. We get on the phone. Yeah. Okay, great. Can you come in for an interview? We could have spent more time on that phone conversation, really listening, and save us the time in an interview, because now we're committed to a 30-minute interview with somebody when really they didn't sound great on the phone. Let's take the time on the phone before we bring them in.
Right. So maybe you've got the 20, you've gone through them. How many of them actually make it to an appointment with you? And what does that first appointment look like?
Okay. It depends. We took us a year and a half to find our last dental assistant. So I feel the pain everybody's having, you know, sometimes I get lucky and I get two or three good candidates. And then sometimes I have to interview for months before I find a good candidate. So I don't think there's a special number. It's not like 20 gets down to three and of three, you're going to find one. I mean, you may go through the process over and over and over again, because what we don't want to do is try to put a square peg into a round hole. We're really trying to find the right candidate. There's two ways to bring them in at this point. You can do a one-on-one interview or you can do a group interview. Okay. And I'm fine with both. I believe it kind of just depends on how much time you have and what you're hiring for. So when it comes to a hard to find position, like a hygienist or maybe an assistant or associate, I'll probably just do a one-on-one interview because, you know, I'm not going to get 20 doctors who are looking to be an associate in our practice. But when I'm looking for a receptionist, a group interview works great because, you know, like for me, this is where I say my staff makes fun of me. If you come in to interview with me and I've determined in the first 5 minutes that you're not the candidate, our interview only takes about 8 minutes and you leave. I don't spend 30, 40, 50 minutes with you. You're not the right candidate, right? So I don't waste a lot of time, but some people who don't have hiring experience might spend 30, 40, 50 minutes. And if you do that over and over and over again, you're going to waste a lot of time. So that's where a group interview would work, where you would bring in 10 candidates or however many you get that are potential candidates. And then we're going to do the interview and do them all at once. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Have you found one to be more successful than the other or not really? Just kind of depends.
It kind of depends. I mean, we've done group interviews and hired a couple of our latest front office staff that way. A group interview, there's a process to it. Right. So if anybody has questions, I can type it up and put it on the feed. I mean, there's definitely a process. They come in, they fill out an application, you know, half of them don't show up. So you eliminate them down to the 10 that show up. You kind of monitor them. I know some offices will put a plant in the reception area with them to see how are they talking when they're in the reception area. You're looking for how they write. Are they legible? Are they following the instructions? We do a thing where the doctor gets up and gives them a little introduction to the practice. And then we give them a 5-question quiz to ask them, what did the doctor tell you? You know, where is the doctor originally from? Where did they go to school? You know, what position are we hiring for? Whatever, to see, are they listening? Do they, you know? And then we eliminate them down to whichever ones are actual potentials. And then we have usually 3 or 4 people who take turns interviewing. And if we like you, you get to interview with all the doctors and me. And then you potentially get an opportunity to get the job. So group interviews, you can do a lot in a small period of time, but there's definitely coordination to doing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, at the first interview, you know, take us through this process. So you have either the group or one-on-one. Then if it's a great candidate, where do you go next?
Okay, so, and I'm going to recommend, because you and I talked about this beforehand, if somebody's watching this and you haven't watched other interviews for the Best Practices Show, watch them. Because I watched Craig Spodak, who's now a friend of mine, but I watched him and he talked about a great thing. And my staff watched that video you did with him. Yeah. And my team wants to do this going forward. So what Dr. Spodak said was, and I'm going to start doing this, the next step would be they interview with my team in the department they're going into. So if they're a hygienist, my hygienists are going to interview them. If they're a front office team, my front office team is going to interview them. Because the way Dr. Spodak brings it up is it's like an arranged marriage. Just because I like them doesn't mean my team is going to work well with them. So the next step for me is going to be letting my team interview them, because they're going to have a better buy-in to making this person successful and working with them if they also feel like they're a good addition to the team. So that's new for me, thanks to Dr. Spodak. That's what my team wants to do going forward. So that's the next step.
Awesome.
Then if my team likes them and I like them, you know, depending on the position, we could do a working interview or not. If I love them and they're a shoo-in, I'll hire them. If I'm still, let me see, because everybody's different. An interview is different than on the job, you know, how they really are. Then I might do a working interview. Check your state laws, because you have to pay when you do working interviews. You can't have them come in for free and they have to sign certain paperwork. So check your state laws, but I'll do a working interview next, typically. Because I want to see how are they really in the environment. You know, when they're doing a working interview, what I try to do is give them a task that they can do that's easy. It might be, hey, take these 25 patients, make an Excel spreadsheet, alphabetize them, and give me the report back, you know, by lunch. And it could be just a silly task, you know, you go file these charts. But I want to see, can they do it? Mm-hmm. Are they following the instructions? How many times did they have to come back and ask me? Were they working on the project or were they gossiping with the staff? I'm going to pay attention to they're getting the product during this time. I'm not just going to throw them up front and go, all right, well, I think I've got an employee and I'm going to go back to my job. I'm really doing this to assess if they're going to be a good candidate for our office.
That's awesome. Now, how do you describe this working interview to this potential team member? How many days, because you tell them this is a working interview, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So we usually just do a day. In my office, because I am watching them and paying attention, and I have certain tasks that I want them to do to see how they do, and I want to hear from my team what they thought about them. Mm-hmm. So I usually just bring them in for the day, and it's actually, they're either so good, by the end of the day, I've hired them, like I made them an offer, or they're so not good that by lunch, we're like, you know what, we're just getting a little crazy here, I'm going to pay you for the day, and it was nice meeting you, and they're gone, because by lunch, my team's like, oh my gosh, get her out of here, right? She's driving me crazy. So we just kind of play that by ear.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. And now once they make it through the working interview, how do you hire them? What kind of a time frame are you evaluating? Because I want to know how much truth of this, you've heard this cliche, it doesn't get any better than the interview. Is that true or not true when it comes to hiring?
And this is a new thing that I'm really starting to speak on a lot this year, is about that first week in the dental office. I think in an interview, everybody's on their best behavior. So I agree with that. if they're not great at the interview, they're not going to get any better. And little things I didn't talk about, like if they come late to your interview.
Oh, no.
Right. And then you wonder 6 months from now why they're always coming late to work. You know, yes. Do they look disheveled? Do they just all that kind of stuff? I peek outside. What does their car look like? You know, I mean, their personal items. So those are just, these are just the things that we're looking at. But so I give it, that first week is super vital important for multiple reasons. It's important. What happens a lot of times is we hire somebody, we go, great, we hired somebody. And, oh, Kirk, we have so much to talk about. One of the other things is right before I hire that person, I go back to my list. Okay. Remember the original list that says we're looking for these traits. And I make sure that what we have found matches that list. And I'm not just going, well, kind of. Like it matches that list because that's what I was looking for in the beginning. So now you can tell I love this. This is like one of my favorite.
Oh, I love it that you love it because nobody else loves it.
So now that first week is super important. There's a statistic, something like 70% of people know whether or not they're going to stay subconsciously, know whether or not they're going to stay in a position long term that first week they work somewhere. So it's important for our employees, if we want long-term employees, because we know we have a lot of turnover at the dental office, so we want to try to avoid it as much as possible. And it's important for us, because I personally, my philosophy is fast hire, fast fire. Let's try to get somebody in, and if they're not working out, I would rather us figure that out in the first week and help you go find a better job for you. Then keep you on for a year, and now I know your kids, and we've had cookouts together. It's a lot harder to let somebody go than it is in that first week. So I'm really going to pay attention and manage their training. I'm going to make sure that I'm giving them tasks to see they can do what they're doing. I'm going to watch them when they don't think I'm watching them. Are they gossiping? Are they whispering? Are they sitting around with their feet up on the desk? I'm going to see how they do with other employees. So I'm really going to pay attention to that to make sure we have the right candidate. Because just because you hired them doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be the one candidate, you know, the one right employee for you.
Right. And I have so many questions. Like people talk about creeping on social media. Do you like that? Not tried it? Doesn't matter? Because you learn a lot about somebody when you follow them on social media. Do you do any of that or not?
Yeah. You know, yes, we do. I mean, I look out, it's not like one of my for sure things, but, I'm going to listen. I'm going to look at their email address. I'm going to see if I could see them on social media. I mean, they're out there. They know they're interviewing for a job. It's not a huge thing for me. Like I don't go, okay, I need to check, but I think it's important to do. Checking references, huge. If you watch David Harris. Have you had David on your show yet?
I had David, and that is awesome. So go through, because I love this part. This is one of my favorite parts. So if you're watching this, listen to what Laura has to say. So Laura, this is critical. When do you do the reference checking, and how do you do it, and what do you ask? So go through that.
Well, good question. So I usually do the reference check after the interview, before the work, after the actual interview, before the working interview. So okay. I want to know beforehand. And there's certain, don't quote me on this, so you need to go to your state law. I think we can ask anything we want. It's the past employer who has to be careful what they answer, right? But I usually do things like, you know, I confirm the dates that they said they worked there. I confirm the pay that they said they got paid. Because we've actually had the experience where we've had a hygienist who left us, went to another dentist, and then told him she was making $10 more an hour. Than she actually made with us. So it's important to verify, get the right information, confirm their story of why they left, and then confirm. I usually ask, would you hire this employee back? Would you consider this employee to be a good employee? Now, what you ask isn't as important as how they respond. So you really, it's just like confirmation calls and people trying to cancel. Listen to the person on the other end of the phone. Many times they can't tell you, well, I fired them because they embezzled against me or whatever. But you can hear the tone of the doctor's voice, like, I don't, that's what you're listening for, right?
Right.
So you're listening for hesitation with the, and some dentists may just tell you, no way, I'd never hire them. I don't think they're allowed to, but, you know, they may just tell you. But yeah, you're really listening to that, because if you hear David Harris's stories, some of these people that have come in, they've done this in practice after practice after practice, and that dentist didn't check And they could have known potentially before they brought him in. So it's super important to do.
Yeah. And the last question that you asked is, this is one of the most, would you hire this person again? Ask it really slowly and listen very carefully, because that determines pretty much everything. If they, because you know how this is, when you have a great employee, let's say you have somebody that's worked for you and they moved to New York, and somebody calls you and they go, well, I got Lisa in my office. She said she worked. Oh my gosh, best person, yep, I have ever had. We were so sad to see her go. You already know the answer. Yep. And if you talk to somebody like, yep, she worked for me. Yep. Yep. Would you hire? No. And legally, they're limited to say yes or no. That's all they can do. They can't give any gratuitous information about the circumstances, or I mean, I guess they can, but they have to be very careful.
Yeah, you have to. They have to check their laws, and that's really on them. But I have to tell you, just on a side note. So my office in San Diego, we've had a lot of employees over the years, and I do front office training, right? Yeah. So I have some employees who've come and gone, and they just maybe weren't a good fit for our office, but I loved them. They were nice, and I said, I'll give you a good reference if you go somewhere. We've had some where we went separate ways, and they were not a good employee and it didn't work out or whatever. And they're getting snatched up by other dentists in San Diego, making significantly more than they did in my office because they used to work for me. And I laugh because those dentists never called me for a reference. If they would have called me, I bet you, I know two of my past employees who are working in other dental offices making double what we paid them because they used to work for, you know, Laura Hatch, Front Office Rocks. And I'm like, this is the mentality of dentists. They don't work for me anymore for a reason. You do know what I mean? Like, so really checking the references is super important, because, you know, you're about to hire this employee and you want to make sure you've got the right one.
Right. So take us through those first couple of weeks. Let's say, what kind of a time frame are you looking? Is it 30 days, 45 days? When you say hire fast, yeah, what, give us a time frame that's reasonable for you.
Well, for me, it's a week.
Okay.
If they're obviously not making it in that first week, you're going to have that issue going forward. So in that first week, if they're showing up late, if they're gossiping, if they're not following through on projects, if they're not getting what the training, if they're not retaining it, if they're not understanding it, it's probably not going to get any better.
Right.
I make sure I talk with this employee throughout that first week, and I ask them, like, did you understand the instructions I gave you? Why didn't you get it done? And really by the end of that week, I don't necessarily fire them. They know this probably just isn't a good job for me, because working in a front office, a dental office, I mean, it's insane. And if you aren't getting it, it's going to be tough for you long term. So that first week is super important. If they're getting it and they're learning and we're progressing and then I'm going to, you know, I give them a month, 45 days. But at this point, it's either yay or nay. I mean, you know, I'm not going to hold on to them for 6 months and hope one day they're going to wake up and be able to multitask, you know, or be able to problem solve. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's important training, and I'm writing a ton of articles about this, how we train the employees, because that is a lot of responsibility on us. A lot of dental offices throw the employee, especially front office employees or assistants, to the wolves. Just here you go. And just because your other employees in your office might be good at certain topics and job duties doesn't mean they're a good trainer, right? Yeah. And so they're getting all this information, and we're talking about insurances and EagleSoft and answering phones and the doctor needs this and endo, and the employee's like, you know, so let's train them on something good. So what I always start with is let's train them on the phones. Yeah. Let's teach them how to be a good receptionist. Let's get them through Front Office Rocks training. Let's make them comfortable and can say, I'm helping, I'm contributing to the team. Then we can teach them scheduling. Then we can teach them, you know, treatment plan or whatever. But let's not try to teach them everything at once, because we want them to be successful too. And when we're not training them well, you're going to have an employee who is looking for another job in 6 months because they never really got to the point where they could contribute and be happy in their position.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, as you can see, she knows what she's talking about. So this is critical, because bringing somebody into your team, this is like one of the most important things you'll ever do as a business owner, because it can greatly dictate your happiness or your misery, you know, perpetual misery. So Laura, this is awesome. And like I said, you and I are going to do a ton of these, and we're going to do the next one on firing. But if people, I know people are watching this, they're going to have questions. How explain how to get a hold of you, and then explain what Front Office Rocks is, how much it costs, what to do, and where to get it.
Okay, so you can find me all over the internet, and my website is frontofficerocks.com. And Front Office Rocks is designed to help not only train new employees, but train your current employees, cross-train employees. There's over 180 videos on there, all short 10, 12-minute videos with quizzes at the end, so that you can train your front office team or cross-train, all for $149 a month. So you can do it in your office. It's all online. $149 a month. We have webinars. I have documents. The idea is to be a resource to help dentists in the front office. And you can reach me right in there. There's a chat feature. You can chat with me. You can send me an Ask Laura email. And I'm here to try to help as many dentists in offices as I can. So just find me at frontofficerocks.com.
Absolutely. You're going to have to check it out. And then also, too, in the feed, please add any topics you want Laura to cover, because I've got about 13 of them we're going to cover in future shows. But if you want to add a 14th, 15th, 16th, I'll line them up and we'll get them scheduled. So, Laura, stay on for a second while we say goodbye to everybody else, but because I want to just cover a whole bunch of other things with you. But if you're watching, thank you so much for watching the Best Practices Show. If you found today valuable, do me a favor, hit the share button and share it with your friends, because we want them to get this information too. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great day.